right now. We will talk to all of you out there. A disappointing start for the Blue Jays. 0-2, they lose 3-2 to the Cleveland Indians in 11 innings. The offense just hasn't gotten in gear yet. Only 9 hits over the first 2 games, covering 20 innings for the Blue Jays. But there seem to be a lot of good hitters here. We'll see. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And we go right to the Blue Jays talk, and we start with Kevin in Toronto, who's listening in on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're the leadoff man, Kevin.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was wondering about the center field position. And I was wondering if they could trade Rasmus and bring up Ghost and then trade for a second baseman.
You do realize that we're 2 games into the season, right?
I realize that.
And the biggest problem with Anthony Ghost is what?
Well, he's, I guess his offense, his batting.
Strikes out too much.
Right.
He needs his defense is great. His defense is absolutely. He'd be the best center fielder in the major leagues if he was brought up right now.
Rasmus said a lot too, though, right?
Rasmus?
Yes.
Yeah, not nearly as much as Ghost. But the thing is, you don't have a finished product in Anthony Ghost, and you can finish him if you keep him in the minor leagues for a little while. And Colby Rasmus is just fine. He hasn't been good yet as a Blue Jay, other than those 6 weeks last year where he was phenomenal. But there's no need for any first week of April trades. There's no need for any panic buttons to be pushed. The fact that they've got 9 hits in 2 games is certainly not Colby Rasmus's fault. It's a little early, I think, to talk about making sweeping changes. No?
Okay. Yeah, maybe later on down the season.
Yeah, later on down the season, absolutely. If changes need to be made, they'll be made. But they don't get made on April 3rd.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that call. This is the Honda Post Game Show. We will have some John Gibbons for you, we hope, before the top of the hour. We continue to take your calls. Greg is in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Great,
hello.
Great show.
Thank you.
I remember in those old days when you were at 680 News.
Long time ago, yeah.
Now you're doing a great, even better job. Listen, I have a comment here. I think the Jays, even though they're 0-2 start, will still end up with at least 86 wins to 88 wins, and as opposed to 74 losses. And a question I had with regards to the Florida Marlins, how did they finish last year in their division?
They finished last in their division. Pardon me?
How did the Florida Marlins finish last year?
They finished last. I'm sure you're aware of that when you asked the question.
Was Jose Reyes on that team?
Yes.
How did he do?
Jose Reyes, he hit .287 with a .780 OPS. He stole 40 bases. He had 37 doubles. Did pretty well.
I think he'll do a little bit better this year. I see him winning, at least hitting .310, .320 with maybe 35 home runs.
Pardon me? 35 home runs?
I think so.
That would be about twice his career high, I think. Yes.
All right. Well, let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
All right.
All right. Keep that crystal ball alive.
All right.
Although it looks like it's giving you some weird pictures right now, Greg. Thank you for the call. Jose Reyes is not here to hit home runs. Jose Reyes' career high is 19 home runs. He's not here to hit home runs. He's here to get on base. He's here to steal bases. He's here to play defense at shortstop. And so far nobody's hitting well. So we shall see. This offense... still a long way from getting in gear. Tony is in Halifax listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Mike, I had a couple of comments about situational awareness of the players in game situations.
Sure,
and
shoot.
It really relates to the team philosophy, I think. Like, at the end of the game there, we're in Canarsion. Really, he could have had first base easy by trying to... drop some kind of a ball on the field up towards third base. And
or even down towards first base because there was nobody there.
I think we don't always have to go for a home run. If you're a home run hitter and you can and get on first base, that's success.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I've seen Edwin Encarnacion try to bunt in the past, and it certainly was not pretty. I think that you get... You know, if they were playing like that with nobody out in the inning, then I might think about taking a shot at dropping something down because there was just so much room. But I don't know if they would have been playing like that with nobody out. With two out in the 11th and you're down by a run, you want the guy who was two home runs off the major league lead last season to take some pretty good hacks, don't you?
Yeah, but I think the number one key is for when the hitter goes to the plate is to realize the situation at hand, and that's why you need skilled players at all facets of the game.
I agree with you, but
you got to be able to do the to get on first base first.
But riddle me this: when you're down by a run with two out in the last inning, the situation says to you that if I get on first, and I'm Edwin Encarnacion, I still need two guys behind me to get two out hits to score me, right?
Yeah, but you got Adam Lind coming up too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter who's coming up. It's, you know, even the best guy is only going to get a hit 35% of the time, and that's really pushing it.
Yeah, but I think the players are designed the way they are by the philosophy of the management of the team.
Right, your cleanup hitter is a guy who's supposed to hit a ton of home runs.
But I think the team philosophy should be to get multifaceted players who can do all aspects of the game. And that means a home run hitter needs to be able to bunt when times call for a bunt.
How many of those are there in the major leagues?
I don't know, but you know, if you're going to be making multi-million dollars, you know how to do all that stuff.
Yes, you should. It's true. You're absolutely right. You should. But that's just not the way the world works, unfortunately. And you can't, as much as you'd love to build the perfect team, and I appreciate the call, you can't have everybody on the lineup who is skilled at all facets in the game. No, you can't have nine guys who all can hit 40 home runs and steal 40 bases and are going to hit 300 and aren't going to strike out and can drop a bunt down. And you're very, very lucky, in fact, if you have one of those guys. Rick in Mississauga on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks. Listen, I just saw a couple hundred people lined up with broken ankles at my local hospital from jumping off the bandwagon.
They'll jump back on soon enough.
You know, two games, who cares, win, lose, it makes no difference. But just what I see, I see right now, just the hitters are putting a lot of pressure on themselves, maybe swinging when they shouldn't. And, you know, it's early. But my concern is and it's early. I don't know Gibbons that well, and I can't even remember how he managed before. But from what I hear, he's very, very loyal to the players. And, you know, yesterday I was very surprised to see Aaron Sebia starting when you've got a catcher who's there just to catch Dickey and fill in the odd time. And maybe Aaron Sebia deserved the start. I don't know. But, you know, I was watching on TV and one of the color commentators said if he has another pass ball that they got to pull him. You know, so I hear that you know, again, I could be wrong, but that Gibby was wanted Romero to come back at all costs with the team, and it was some upper management that made the decision or a group decision to leave him behind. Maybe you can shed some light on that.
First I've ever heard anything about that, so.
Okay.
No, and the J.P. Aaron Sebia thing, I mean, we talked it to death last night. J.P. deserved that start. He had no problems at all with Dickey in the spring, and you know, he worked his tail off to be able to catch him and caught him just fine. So I don't know that John Gibbons is loyal to a fault to players. I think that he plays his platoons properly, which is, you know, maybe an indication that the wins come before anything else, because if you were loyal to a player, you would leave a guy in a situation where maybe there was a better hitter available to you. I have no issue at all with John Gibbons as a tactician, not one bit. And I think he showed it tonight by using Casey Jansen in the 10th. A lot of managers won't use their closers in an extra inning game that early at home when you absolutely should, because there's no save situation to save them for. Pinch hit for Meister Asturias with the lefty killer in Mark DeRosa, even though he let Colby Rasmus hit. And I think that had more to do with a short bench than anything else. Appreciate the call. What? You got more?
At the end of the year, the town will come through and you'll see where they are. They'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Thank you for the call, Rick. Appreciate it. We got time for one or two more before we hear from John Gibbons. Donald in Toronto, you're on the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, Mike. The batting, what I thought was going to be a strength, the hitting end of it was going to be a strength with the Jays, but Ubaldo Jimenez, he's a mediocre pitcher. And my goodness, players like Lynn, Encarnacion, and Bonifacio, they had pitches to hit, and they didn't hit them. You know what I mean? They got, what, four hits last night and five tonight?
Yep.
Five tonight? That's not going to cut it.
No, it's not.
It's not going to cut it.
But the beautiful thing, Donald, is they get 160 more chances.
Correct. But I don't know. I hope the hitting picks up because the pitching's been decent. Even with a starter last night, so
don't let it get to you. It's two games.
Two games.
Even the best offensive teams in history have consecutive games where they don't hit at all.
Well, it's in front of the hometown crowd, so I hope those players I mentioned can focus on the hitting end of it a little better. My goodness,
it has nothing to do with a lack of focus. I promise you.
Yeah, because Bonifacio, he didn't seem to have a clue at the plate there.
No, he had a rough night tonight, but Kerwin Danley had a rough night too, I got to tell you. You can't take anything from two games, Donald. Nothing.
Correct. Thank you,
right?
Mike.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. I know it's hard. I know it is. It's hard to keep it in perspective when there's been so much excitement and so much hype and so much talk about how good this team is. You just have to remember, it's two games. Mark is in Caledonia listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to basically touch on a point. People say this team is all that good and they're ultra-talented, and I would take nothing away. They are ultra-talented. But I really want to touch on the point was the majority of guys they got in the offseason, and Reyes aside, the other guys they got, people are saying this team is stacked. It's ultra, but, I mean, what did they do with Florida last year? What did they do with Miami? They finished last place. So
they all had the three of them had really good years, and there were 22 other people on that team.
I understand that, but if they had really good years, they couldn't do any better than last place. I think people are
right because there are three of them, and the team has 25 people on it.
Understandable, but
obviously
again,
not. If you're blaming the three of them for the Marlins finishing last place,
I'm not blaming the three of them. But they couldn't do anything better than last place last year, and people are expecting a World Series berth this year.
That is correct.
And after you're losing to the Cleveland Indians in two games, I mean that's pretty bad.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not good.
The Cleveland Indians are pretty bad, Mike.
The Cleveland Indians are fine.
They're not the elite of the American League.
No, they are certainly not the elite of the American League. You are correct. But your thesis statement is where you lose me. Because they couldn't do any better than last place with the Miami Marlins last year. So in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in my mind, that means you're equating Jose Bautista with Logan Morrison. You're equating Edwin Encarnacion with Carlos Lee. You're saying that Brandon Morrow is the same guy as Carlos Zambrano. R.A. Dickey is like Ricky Nolasco. These are the things you're saying to me.
I'm not comparing those guys. They are, with those guys, the guys that came from Florida, people were saying it's a World Series team. I think that people should kind of calm down a bit and not jump off whatever and say, oh, this team is just a lock for the World Series because now we have Jose Reyes, we have Emilio Bonifacio, who's an average player, and then we have Mark Burley, who's a veteran, good, but not great. Josh Johnson, usually hurt, so we don't know. Great
not
pitcher
true.
When he's healthy. He's a great pitcher when he's healthy.
Right, and he's pitched at least 100. No, you're right. You don't know about anybody for anything. It's true. Thanks for the call,
sure.
Mark. As much as you're saying people shouldn't go too hard one way, you can't go too hard the other way as well. You can't just be see negative for the sake of seeing negative. There's no comparison, none whatsoever, between the 2012 Miami Marlins and the 2013 Toronto Blue Jays, with the exception of those four players who were on Miami last year. No comparison. The supporting casts are entirely different. but I thank you for your call anyway. I apologize that we can't get to the rest of you. The extra innings shorten us up, and we do want to hear from the manager. So let's listen a little bit to what John Gibbons had to say at the conclusion of tonight's 3-2 loss to the Indians in 11 innings.
John, I'm obviously on a positive note. You've got to be thrilled with what Morrow did today.
Oh, yeah, he was really good. You know, that first inning, he was cutting it loose. He was a little bit too strong. And then he settled in, and, I mean, he dominated. You know, the story, even tonight, a lot like last night, I mean, both sides' pitching was very good. You know, tonight, they shut us down, too. You know, one thing, this team's built to score runs. We haven't done that yet, but we're going to hit, and that's basically been the difference in the games.
Do you think the guys may be pressing a little bit because of all the excitement and everything else?
No, I think it's too early for that. You know, I think they pitched good against us. You know, they really have. I think maybe there's some times we're a little over aggressive, but you know, I can't take it. I mean, I got to tip my hat to them too. They pitched very good, and then they got to their bullpen. The bullpen's pretty much shut us down. You know, we got the big hit out of Hosey to tie it late. Then, you know, you had that good feeling, but nothing ever really developed after that. You know, I don't know how many hits we had on the night. What was it? 5, 6, whatever it was. Yeah. But they're playing good over there. They got a good pitching staff. They're shutting us down.
John, I know they haven't been on base a ton, but some of the speed that you guys have, you haven't really been able to use it. Were you considering, you know, having guys get bunt to get hits and try to generate some offense that way?
Well, what happens, you know... you know, both Masterson last night and Jimenez, you know, they're both fairly quick to the plate. And, you know, maybe sometimes they hit and run, but, you know, they're both scattering it a little bit too, you know. So, I mean, if they're steady in the strike zone, it's a little easier to hit and run sometimes. They can be a little wild too. That makes that tough too. But they really haven't had the right guys on to do that. But that'll be a big part of it. We just need to get some more base runners on and get a big hit, maybe to play two runs, and that should make a difference. You know, that way everybody can breathe easier. But, you know,
that's absolutely what it comes down to for the Blue Jays. You can't play the running game if you don't have any runners. And the Blue Jays have had 9 hits in 2 games. They lose to the Indians 3-2 in 11. We'll be back to wrap it up, put a nice pretty bow on it, set you up for tomorrow night. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Blue Jays Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays fall 3-2 to the Cleveland Indians in 11 innings. And the Tribe will be bringing the brooms to the series finale tomorrow night. We are on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Mark Burley will be making his Blue Jays debut. So strap him in. The game will probably take about an hour and 45 minutes. Brett Myers, the righty, answers for the Indians. The Blue Jays looking to get that big offense going again. We are on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Joe Sicilian, Brett Armstrong, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.